but the throwing arm will be made from a more lightweight wood, Douglas fir. Wayne calculates that a tree trunk of at least 2 feet in diameter is needed to withstand the stresses of hurling 250-pound balls.
How about this one, right?
It's the right size, yeah. That would be the right diameter.
It'd be a shame to cut that down, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Let's get the chainsaw and whack it down.
We would have to go.
After it is floated across Loch Ness, the log is quickly hauled ashore.
You're okay.
Work immediately begins on hewing it into an eight-sided throwing arm. The next job is to assemble the base. 40 carpenters, mainly from the United States, but also from Britain and Germany, have volunteered to spend their vacation here. They're all timber framers who specialize in traditional construction techniques. Without nails, they connect large pieces of wood using mortise and tenon joints. While the timber framers immerse themselves in medieval methods, Wayne employs the tools of a modern engineer to check and recheck his design. In particular, he's hoping that the wheels will give him the same boost in performance as they did on the model. Up at the target wall, work is almost complete. The wooden structures on top are called hoardings. They provided additional protection for defenders during a siege. Attackers would build similar barriers to protect the trebuchet team from arrow fire.
Well, this is the target wall that we've got for the trebuchets, a modern reproduction of a castle wall. It's a pretty good reproduction, I think. It's got all the details of the crenellations. And what's important about it is the width. It's a good 5 foot thick. The way that it's formed is that there's an outer skin on either side, and within that, a fill of rubble and mortar. And that provides a very solid core. This is exactly how they did it in the Middle Ages. And I'm very glad that I'm not standing here while the trebuchets are actually shooting.